I'd like to welcome those that are joining us by the way of the internet now. This is our Sunday afternoon message, and the title of the message is Take Heed. Take Heed. If you'd like to find your place in James chapter 1. James chapter 1. As you're finding your place there, in Psalms 119 in verse 9, it says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word." And in James chapter 1 in verse 22, it says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." There's a big difference between hearing something and heeding when it comes to the word of God. Because everybody underneath the sound of my voice, whether you're here in the auditorium or whether you're listening by the way of the internet, you're going to hear what is being said. But right here is the question: how many people will actually heed? That means apply it, to do it. They'll heed what is being said. You know, that if I was to offer somebody a piece of candy, I said, "Hey, I'd like to give you a piece of candy," but they came up and they took both suckers from me. They heard that I wanted to give them some candy, but they didn't hear how many pieces. And it makes a big difference, because I said, "I want to give you a piece of candy." I didn't say, "I want to give you two pieces," but a piece of candy. But if they came up and they took both pieces, there's a big difference, you see, between hearing something. They heard what they wanted to hear, and it's been said that that's what most people hear. They hear what they want to hear. But there's a big difference. Now, if they came up and only took one piece of candy, then that means they heeded to what was being said. You see, to take heed is a step further than just hearing something. You ever heard somebody say, "Man, it goes in one ear and out the other"? You know what I'm saying? They didn't heed it. They didn't get it. They didn't apply it. They didn't make it part of who they were. And but taking heed is a step further than hearing. And in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." That's why it's dangerous to come to church and fall asleep in church. Ask old Eutychus how dangerous that is. He ought to have been paying attention, but he slumped over and he fell asleep in church and he fell out of church. And that's what you better be careful of, is just coming to church and not heeding what's being said. Oh, you're in the right place, around the right people, coming to worship the right person, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But if you won't heed what's being said, I'm going to tell you, it'll affect your life. Do you know how to become an apostate? It's real easy. Do you want to know how to become an apostate? That's somebody that turns away from the truth. All you got to do is just quit heeding. Not quit hearing, just quit heeding what's being said. And you'll become an apostate. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3, it says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." And listen to this, "and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." That means they'll quit heeding the truth and they'll just settle for hearing only. And I'd like to note four things here in our passage in James that we must not just simply hear, but we must take heed to what God says. Number one, about salvation. That's life and death. In verse 13 of James chapter 1, it says, "Let no man say when he is tempted that I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. But when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Oh, in verse 13, we see that sin is not of God. God cannot sin, and God does not make anyone sin. In verse 14, we see that sin comes from man's desire. The devil does not make you sin. No, you have a choice when it comes to what you do. And the devil can tempt you, that's for sure, but he cannot make you sin. That's something you do of your own free will. In verse 14, what's it say? But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of what? His own lust and enticed. Now look, there's nothing wrong with sleeping. We all need to sleep. Some people wish they could sleep more because they're not getting enough sleep, and it's affecting their body, and they could testify at the necessity of rest. We all need rest to function. But if you're not careful, you can allow sleep to become laziness. God designed the human body to sleep at night and to work during the day. And now look, there's jobs that require shifts. Now, we understand all that. Don't go putting words in my mouth or twisting my words, please. Hospital workers, emergency workers, police officers, gas station attendants, places that are open around the clock, hotel managers and things like that, and hotel staff. There's a time where we understand that people have to be at their place of employment. But can I just say, the more you stay up at night, you're going against nature. I've worked that midnight shift. I understand, man, it's hard. It's not natural to do that. See, you're going against God's natural design for your body. If you stay up all night doing whatever it is that draws you away from doing what God has designed as natural for you, then you're setting yourself up for failures. And I'm not talking about work. I'm talking about video games. Staying up all night doing video games and chatting in chat rooms and on videos games and watching videos and getting on the internet. Hey, you better be careful. You'd be better off going to sleep and getting up early and going to work and wasting your life away doing those things. Because I promise you, those things right there, staying up all night doing that, goes against nature. It goes against the way God has designed for you to operate. And therefore, that becomes a sin in your life. Eden, I'm not talking about jobs. Please, don't twist my words and make it say something I didn't say. I'm talking about just staying up and being drawn away from whatever it is we just enjoy doing. How about eating? Food is necessary. God designed us that way. But if you're not careful, then eating can become gluttony. You can't eat too much, which will lead you to being sluggish and not being you to be effective, and will cause you to slow down. And then at that point, that can become harmful to your body. Some people eat to live and some people live to eat. And then information. Boy, that's a big one. But we need to be informed. It's very important to stay informed, but too much information can cause you to lose focus on what's really necessary in this life. Too much YouTube. Too much TikTok, too much social media, too much internet, too much news. I could go on and on. But if it's not used in moderation, it could cause you to lose focus on what's really important. I mean, if you can't leave your phone alone, I mean, if you can't sit still for 1 second, not pull out your phone and have to be entertained and constantly push up, you've lost focus on life's happening all around you and you have no idea. You're caught up in something. You're being drawn away of your own love. You have no idea the people around you. You ought to be taking that time and witnessing to somebody. You ought to be taking that time and say, hey, let me tell you how much Jesus loves you. Let me tell you what Jesus can do for you. But we better be careful because you'll lose focus. Now, I use YouTube. That's about one of the only things I do use. I use YouTube to listen to preaching. But it nourishes and feeds my soul. But even then, I set a set time. I have a set time that I allow this good thing to be in my life. And whether you're an adult or whether you're a young person, what we allow in our life that feeds our lust will cause us to be enticed. Here's another one. What about the people we hang around? If we're not careful, the people that we associate with, and whether it's at church or at home or at school, at work or on social media, can cause you to be drawn away by our own lust and enticed.
You better beware that the desire of sin will lead you to deception. And that's when you're enticed, you're being deceived, that what you think's good there, what you think you really want, it's going to deceive you. Well, I have some fishing lures right here. And I know there you may not be able to see them on the camera, but the folks here can see it. And this was designed to catch a fish. And it was designed to look appetizing. But as you can tell, there's hooks on this lure. And it was designed to entice. It was designed to catch the eye. But if that fish isn't careful and doesn't pay attention, that fish can get caught on this hook. And there's many different types here. You have just a worm right here. And boy, that action will catch a fish's eye. But little does he know there's a hook right here that when he goes to eat that hook will catch him. And then he's going to become somebody else's dinner. And look, it may not be something necessarily big in your life. It could be something really simple, something really small. And that's all it takes to get you to become distracted in what you need to do for the Lord. You see, desire fuels our sin, which leads to deception, and then it leads to disobedience. That's when you break the law of God. Think about Adam and Eve. God told them, he said, don't you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he said, if you do, then you're surely going to die. So how'd they sin? When did it become sin? It became sin when they ate of the fruit. When they were just looking at it, all they were doing was fueling their desire. When Eve gave her ear to Satan, all she was doing was fueling her own desires, her own lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes and the pride of life. But it's when she took of that fruit and ate it, it became sin in her life. Eve's sinful desire, she desired to be as gods, meaning that they wanted to be their own bosses. They only had one rule, basically. They only had one thing they were supposed to abstain from, and they were supposed to keep the garden there. And, I mean, it was just really one thing that they wasn't supposed to do, but they didn't like that. That's called rebellion. They wanted no rules. They wanted no subjection. But she wanted knowledge, she wanted her eyes to be opened. Well, it got opened all right. Open to sorrow is what it got open to. That's called the pride of life. You see, Eve's deception came when she forgot the warning. She looked on the fruit and saw that it was good and pleasant. That's the lust of the eyes. And Eve's disobedience came when she ate of the fruit of the tree. And because of Adam's sin, we're all born sinners, every one of them. We're spiritually dead in our trespasses and sin. You see, our desires fuel our sin, which leads to deception, which leads to disobedience, and then leads to death. Look at verse 15 with me. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. For the wages of sin is death. God has given us a remedy for our sin. He's given us a Savior, and that Savior is the gift of God. Hey, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I tell you, I've never received a gift for doing wrong. No one's ever rewarded me for doing wrong. But I tell you what, there's been many a times I've received a gift for doing right. But can you understand? We've all sinned, the Bible. We've all done wrong. Therefore, we don't deserve anything. But God loves you so much that He has given a gift for every person who has sinned against Him. And all you have to do is receive that gift and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Oh, first of all, you got to see yourself a sinner and repent of your sin and put your faith in the gift that God has given you. That's His only begotten Son. You see, you can't earn a gift. A gift is something that is given. The gift of God is given to us by grace, and it's received by faith. If you want to be saved, then you're going to have to do more than just hear what I'm saying about sin, about salvation, about the only way to be saved. You can know all those things, but if you don't heed that, if you don't apply it, if you don't do what God says in order for you to be saved, then my friend, you'll miss eternal life. And once you're saved and you become a born-again believer, then you must heed what God has to say about sanctification. In James chapter 1 and verse 21, it says this, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." We're going to have to do more than just hear the Word of God. We're going to have to heed it. And verse 23 tells us that the Bible is a mirror. It's a mirror. Now, you know, I shave my head, and once you start shaving your head and things like that, you lose some feeling up here. And many times, I don't even know. I was sitting in a restaurant one time with my son in West Virginia, and we saw these big black ants all inside the restaurant there and going across the window ledge and things like that. But there was none on the table. There was none on the food, unless it was in the food. I don't know. I hope not. If it was, it was grilled and cooked, and it was all right. Yeah, I guess we sanctified it. But you know, my son looked up at me. He said, "Dad," he said, "you got one of them ants on your head." That thing was just making its way around like the children of Israel in the wilderness. I mean, just going around in circles. And I had no idea. I could not feel it, you know. And so, you know, I could put this right here, and before long, I could get used to it. And you know, that's what happens with sin. You get used to it. And you, before long, you know it was there, but it just don't bother you no more. And you know, if you're not careful, you'll go through life with this sin in your life. But that's why God gave us the Bible. You know, God told us there in verse 23 that the Bible is a mirror. We've got a mirror here. And as I look and I see that there's a post-it note up on my head, I've got a choice to make. I can either leave it there and say, it's not that bad. I'll get it later. I'll deal with that later. Or I need to go ahead and do something with that and get it off before it has some type of effect on me. The Bible's like a mirror. It shows us what needs to get right in our life. And God expects us to confess our sin, and God promised that He would forgive us. But again, you've got the choice. You can just leave and say, "Well, it's not that bad, you know." And you can allow your sin and your lust to keep it there, or you can be right with God and get rid of it. And number three, something that we got to do more than just hear, we need to heed, is God's word when it comes to our service for Him. Look at verse 25. "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." You see, God requires every believer to be faithful. You need to obey God's Word. That's why we need to meditate on God's Word. We need to heed it. That's why we need to pray. You know, the Bible says to pray without ceasing. We need to be a witness and tell others about Jesus. We need to be faithful in our church attendance. And if you fail to do these things, then don't expect God to give you more opportunity for anything else. Number four, we need to heed God's word when it comes to separation. Look at verse 26. "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain." Oh, we got to be separated from the world and unto God. We need to exercise separation when it comes to what we hear. What we allow in our ears won't just stay here, but it will affect our heart. And our speech is going to reveal what's on the inside. In 1 Corinthians 15:33, it says, "Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." Well, what's he saying right there? Hey, if you listen to carnal and worldly music like rap and country music and rock and roll, Taylor Swift and all this other bunch, you know, all that's going to do is fuel your desire to sin. It'll corrupt your minds. The videos that you watch, even the video games that you play, the bad words that you hear, and all the sensual stuff that's shown on the internet. You better be careful, because it will corrupt good manners. And it'll cause you to talk and say things that will not bring honor and glory to God. God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17, it says, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." In James chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Hey, what camp you want to be in? You on God's side or are you on the world's side? In Matthew 6:24, it says, "No man can serve two masters. For either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the others. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." You can't listen to the world's music or even this contemporary Christian music and think that you will not be affected for evil. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, may we be reminded of this. "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." You should read your Bible. Listen to godly music that honors the Lord and not the flesh. You should watch things that help you gain wisdom and knowledge and understanding, and not things that appeal to your eyes and your flesh. You should seek to serve God by living for Him and reading your Bible and going to church and inviting others to church and telling others how to be saved. Children, you ought to obey your parents. Adults, you ought to be obeying your Heavenly Father. Oh, can I ask, what has God spoken to you about? We've just spent a few minutes here in front of God's mirror. Has God showed you anything in your life that needs to go or needs improving? Can I just say it's time to respond? And if you're not saved today, would you please call on the Lord and be saved today?